I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Brian DeFelice, joined by Bridget Prue, and freshly off short-term IR, one Scott McLaughlin. Scott, how are you feeling?
Much better, and I'm glad that we were able to clear enough cap space to activate me without having to trade anyone away. Just great cap management by the whole operation here.
I agree.
Yeah, no, it was just always finding those loopholes, you know, like the Lightning in 2020. So where there's a will, there's a way, like Don Sweeney said. Well, there's a way to figure it out throughout the year.
Yeah. And by the way, like the Bruins, you know, credit, I think Evan Gold is like their cap master financial guy. You think you understand the cap, and then something like this happens, and you're like, nah, I don't know, I guess not, because we all thought like they had more money they need to free up in order to be able to activate Forbort, and it turns out that just by waiving Strahlman and demoting his contract, they ended up today, like, Bridget, what did I tell you, like
34,000 under the cap. When he said that to me, I thought he was going to say $34 under the cap. I was like, wow, they cut that close.
Which would have been even more impressive. But yeah, I don't know. So all they had to do was get rid of Strahlman, and they have enough money, and now they've got everyone. And, you know, we'll get into it later.
Well, it's a good point, though, Scott, because conceivably, though, they could roll with this lineup.
Yeah.
All regular season and playoffs, and it's like we're scratching our heads all off season and the front part of this season. It's like, well, they got to trade something. It's like, and to your point, it's like, oh no, just assign Strahlman to Providence. You know, hope it doesn't get claimed off waivers. Like, really?
It's interesting. They have a whole 27 cents left over.
And like it goes back to like not using like all of the long term IR that they could have. You know, like when McAvoy was on, I think they were only like $3 million into LTIR because they still had left some cap space like on their active roster. So like that all factors in. When they sent Mike Riley down to Providence factors in. Like apparently today was the first day when they would have been able to activate Forbort without doing anything else. Like it's, I don't know. I don't know if it was all part of the master plan and then you'd like, they really did have this plan down to the very day, or if it just sort of by coincidence that ended up lining up that way. But either way, yeah, like you said, they now have their team, and you know, I do think like they still might be looking to move Riley because him being in Providence is not really an ideal situation for Riley, but like also just for the team, because it's like they eventually, as cap space accrues, they might have enough to call him back up at some point, but like right now they don't, so they can't even, you know, it's like you can't even bring him up. He's just kind of stuck there.
Yeah, and it doesn't
want it. Go ahead, Bri.
No, I was just gonna say, like, there's really no reason to, there's no incentive right now to move Craig Smith either, because, you know, it's a long season. You know, somebody's going to go down, and there you go. Now here comes Craig Smith off the ninth floor. So it's just like, even now he's not happy about that, right? Because until something happens, or unless, you know, Montgomery wants to shake things up, like, there's no reason for him to go in the lineup right now. And he's just sitting there on his thumbs upstairs, but which sucks for him personally. But yeah, I mean, it's just, now he could just sit there until they need him, really, or things up.
Either way, like, you never know who's going to get hurt. And also, like, he could still be, like, on a cup-winning team, even if he stays here the rest of the year. Like, he's on a team that he, like, presumably enjoys the team culture, like, the locker room culture, the teammates that he has. Everybody seems to really like each other on this team. So it's not all that bad once you get over the fact that you're not, like, in the lineup on a daily basis. But that could change at any point. Like, Trent Frederick could get hurt again, and or Greer, or you never know.
Yeah, and Smith's a little banged up himself right now anyways. Or just someone could struggle and there could be not. Like, you know, Greer and Frederick have certainly been playing better than Smith to this point in the season, but it's not like the gap in quality between those players is enormous. Like, you know, Greer or Frederick take a downturn for a week and you get Smith back in. Maybe he ramps his game up, and, you know, like, there's some interchangeability there where it's like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if 2-3 weeks from now we're like, hey, Smith has looked really good on the third line the last couple games, or the fourth line, or wherever. Like, it, you know, it's not like it wouldn't take a whole lot for him to get in the lineup, and you can still see a situation where he takes advantage of that opportunity, even though it, you know, hasn't really happened yet this season.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet, but you know, he has that ability. He wasn't terrible all of last year. He had some quieter spells, but, like, you got to imagine that once he gets healthy, he might be able to make a case for himself at some point. It seems like he has at least a little bit more time now that this move with Stroman, you know, cleared up somehow enough space for them to get Forbert back in. And by the way, just to tie up this conversation about Stroman, there's a little bit of a weird situation with him, because he came to Boston, kind of agreed, like, okay, if you sign me, like, this is going to be, I'm going to be on Boston, and he doesn't really want to play in the AHL. So
no, I would be shocked if he plays a game in the AHL. I think, you know, Steve Conroy had tweeted earlier today. He talked to Stroman's agent. He said, like, we're looking over our options over the next few days. And, you know, I could see him potentially just retiring. Like, if he feels like his game isn't where he needs or wants it to be, and feels like, you know, might not even work out, like, with another team, I could see him retiring. Or I could see if he thinks, you know what, like, I do still have something, and I want another chance, and things just haven't quite clicked in Boston, then I could see a mutual agreement to terminate his contract, where he would become a free agent again, and then he can sign, you know, another 1-year deal with some other team that's willing to give him a shot. So I think both of those are on the table. I don't think him actually playing in Providence is going to happen, but, you know, I guess crazier things have happened. If he wants to stay with the organization, I guess, you know, that could be a possibility.
Yeah, it sucks for him, because obviously that's just, like, he did not expect, nobody, he probably doesn't even know what Providence is. Like, he probably doesn't know too much about the area, anything. Like, I don't know why anyone would want to get sent down. But the thing about that is, like, unfortunately for the Bruins, it'd be great if they could keep him there, because then he's the next guy you call up. Like, there's someone else that you can call up to the lineup if someone else gets injured, or for whatever reason you need someone. And he was reliable when he came in. He wasn't perfect, and he, you know, you could tell there was a little bit of slowness to his game, but he wasn't a terrible option. He was a good option to have. So the fact that he doesn't remain an option after this, because he's not gonna, most likely not gonna go play for the AHL, and you know, you won't have the ability to call him back up, essentially. This was a kind of just a permanent move.
And, you know, similar to that point, Bridget, like, similar to Craig Smith, if I'm Stroman and his agent, and they're talking about you know, possibilities of where he could, of his next move. Like, he could report to Providence and they could end up shipping out Riley and clearing up even more cap space. And like Bridges said, like, you could be in a situation where you're back with this team in the second half of the season, or certainly in the playoffs as an extra body as well. And you know, the other thing that comes to mind when I hear talking over options is maybe if he does see himself on, you know, the last hole of his career, maybe he and his family wouldn't mind moving back to Sweden and playing in the Swedish Elite League or something like that, to just kind of, you know, play one final year somewhere. Who knows? But in any event, not to bury the lead, the Bruins beat the Lightning 3-1 tonight at the Garden, improved to 13. Yes, Bridget.
This is all Scott's fault.
What's that?
About IR.
Listen, when you come back, you got to make an impact right off the bat. So I felt like I really needed to completely derail this.
Yeah,
right,
this all started because we needed to find out how to get Scott back in the lineup and clear some cap space.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, tip of the cap to Scott. First shift, take a hit, make a hit. You know, he's finding ways to impact the game right away. That's what you want to do when you first get back. Keep things simple. But yeah, so the Bruins, they beat the Lightning for the second time in about a week and a half stretch. 3-1 at the Garden. They get two holes from Taylor Hall and an empty net from Marchand. Now, before we kind of dive into the game, I did want to lead with this. We've talked about over the last couple of weeks, we have talked about the line combinations in Krejci with Zacha and Pasternak. And I want to bring it up again because it seems like it's more of a potential long-term situation where it looks like Montgomery might want to have Taylor Hall on the third line just to have depth at forward that no other team in the league, maybe besides, you know, maybe one other team can kind of match that. Post game,
that was a huge conversation. That was a huge theme. So we'll get into that. Post game conversations with players and coach.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just going to throw it to you guys real quick. Like, what do you think Jim Montgomery's motivation is here? Do you think it's to create depth? Even more depth, which we think they have anyway, even if Zaka's not their line. Do you think it was to wake up Hall, who doesn't seem like he needed a huge wake-up call, but everybody can use it? Or is it just, you know, maybe try to have Coyle and Frederick's style of play drag Taylor Hall into the fight a little bit more, into a nittier-grittier style of play, as opposed to Krejci and Pasternak, who are a little bit more finesse?
Well, Coach actually answered that. So he said that one of the greatest things about working with a player like Taylor Hall is that his ego, he's very mature. He doesn't let his ego get in the way of, you know, coach tells you to go play on the third line when you're a former number one overall pick and you're used to being the guy on certain teams that you've been on in the past. He said that when he moved Hall to the third line, Hall was completely fine with it. And he also mentioned that he likes how he plays with Coyle, the way that Coyle can kind of clear space out for him and Hall can spend time with the puck on his stick and make his moves towards the net and whatnot. So it was a conscious decision to put Coyle and Hall together and see how those players could work together and play off each other in that way. It had nothing to do with trying to wake Hall up at all. He said it was, you know, he likes to be able to split them up and have Hall not complain about it and have it work out the way it has recently.
Yeah. I mean, he's also not going to say that, you know, part of it was to wake Hall up or to wake anyone else up. Like, that's just not really Montgomery's style. I think it was probably a bit of all of the above. Like, I think part of it is that second line wasn't quite taking off the way that, you know, everyone hoped it would. And I think part of it is this desire that Montgomery has to have guys be able to play with multiple different players and play in multiple different spots. And this is sort of something that he's now settled on, you know, for a couple games and might ride with a bit. And I do think Brian, I think that, like, this is kind of what you're getting at is that Hall, Krejci, Pasternak line, you know, they weren't always like cycling and kind of playing on the puck the way that you want. There were too many kind of one and done trips into the offensive zone. And I think that's a combination that can make Hall, Krejci, Pastrnak together. I'm talking about that can make a lot of magic happen, but can also maybe not always quite have like the second effort in the offensive zone that you're looking for, that, you know, can ease up a little bit at times. And so I think, you know, Zach is someone who can bring a little bit grittier style to that second line. And then you put Hall with Coyle and Frederick, two guys who are going to hold on to pucks and, you know, have more possession in the offensive zone. And it sort of forces Hall to play a little bit more like that. And again, like that's, you go back to last year, Hall and Coyle together from the start of the season didn't really work out. Like it seemed like their styles were too different. And it was interesting, like, cause Hall addressed that after the game, you know, what's different now versus last season. And he said, like, well, I think I just know Charlie Coyle better as a player, like not even just from playing with him, but just from being on his team for a full season. He said, like, even last year, I felt like if I ended up playing with Coyle again later in the year, things would have been better because I just had a much better idea of how he played and what I would need to do if I were on his wing. So I do think the two of them are in a better spot. And then whether it's been Smith or Frederick on the right, I think can help bring a style that Hall seems more equipped to play than he probably was when he first got here, you know, a year and a half ago or even early last season.
Yeah, I think he's a smart player, and so he picks up on things and pays pretty close attention to things. So that it kind of makes sense that he was able to figure that, like, figure out how to fit on that line better the more that he knew Coyle. And he also said in the post-game scrum that Charlie Coyle is not a third-line center on most teams. So he doesn't look at it as a demotion at all to be playing on a line with Charlie Coyle. And that he did mention that just shows the depth of the team.
Yeah, I mean, I asked him that, like, you know, was there a part of you that looked at it as a demotion? Or, like, was there, like, a mental aspect you had to kind of get over? And he said, like, no, like, it, you know, it, if this is what we think is best for the team, like, you almost don't even look at it as numbered lines. You just look at it as, you know, go out when it's your turn to go. And especially, like, 5-on-5, it's, they do roll lines a lot. You know, there's not, when they're playing well and they're going, like, there isn't a whole heck of a lot of a difference in 5-on-5 ice time, certainly between those top three lines. Sometimes the fourth line gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, but, you know, they're still going to get their minutes, and Hall's still going to be on the second power play unit, which is where he scores his second goal tonight. It almost isn't it's easy not to look at it as a demotion, I guess, if you're Taylor Hall, because it's like, I think he's the kind of guy who can embrace, you know what, I'm going to help make this the best third line in the NHL. Like, I can see that being something where he's like, okay, that, like, that's what I'm going to do now. That's what we're going to be.
Yeah. And sorry to Brian, just one last thing before we let you talk. Coach Montgomery said, no matter where Taylor Hall is, even on the third line, he's going to be getting 15 minutes a night. And he was right around that again today. So still, it's no, like, demotion in ice time. That's for sure.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.